This morning I want to, or this afternoon, I want to give you the benefit of a mountain of study that I have done upon the subject of drinking and drugs. And combating worldliness is an apt title for this segment. If you've ever been involved with anyone who has been overtaken by the fault of abusing drugs in any form, it has impacted your life in a negative way and everybody else's with whom they have met. I want you to think this morning first about the good life that God has set before you. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God intends for us to have a good life. It is not free from the negatives that we can face in this life. It's not free from physical disease. It's not free, as Job found out, from boils from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. But joy is repeated over and over and over in God's Word. And He wants you to find the true happiness and love in following Him, in being a Christian, in living the Christian life, and finding in that Christian life the greatest life that can be lived upon this earth, no matter what your present circumstance. And as we start to think about that and connect the dots that God has given to us, we start to realize that there are things of this world that we cannot allow to invade that space and disrupt that good life. Illicit drugs or drug abuse of any kind of drug is one of those enemies that will invade that good life, destroy that good life, and leave you in misery and misery alone, and will cost you your soul if you stay in it. The life that God has set out for us is a life without that kind of activity. Now, I want to tell you from the first that drugs are good. In their own context, they are great. To illustrate that, I will tell you just a short story. One day I was in a hurry. I had been using a radial arm saw. I had been cutting some pieces to finish up a little job my wife had given me to do. And I had my hands full. I forgot to turn the saw off. Instead of putting my things down and turning it off with the correct hand, I just reached over there and made a pass at the on-off switch, and I heard something go ka-ting. I thought I was outside and thought maybe a pecan fell out of the tree and hit the saw blade or something. And I looked down and I saw blood squirting everywhere. And it was mine. And that got my interest quickly. And I realized when I looked at it, my third finger on my left hand was upside down. And it was split. And I was hurting. And my blood was gushing forth. And I started to look for help. And nobody was home. They'd gone visiting. I came back outside and found comfort in the sidewalk. That concrete was cool, and the closer I could get my head down to it, the better I felt. But I was hurting. As soon as someone found me, my wife, and she took me to the hospital some 25 miles away, and I'm still edgy. I'm still hurting. But the minute they gave me that shot of whatever it was, everything was okay. I was getting better. My mind had been separated from the pain in my hand. And the drugs that they gave me to make that go away did a good work that day. And I was happy for it. I did not sin in that matter. But you could take the same drugs, you could take the same chemicals that they use in right manners at a doctor's office and abuse those and use them just for a purpose of being happy and getting high, and you sin before God and you'll lose your soul as well as your good life. Now, I want to use this day to prove that to be true, to show you what is set before us, and to realize that we are created to live without any other substance being put in us to make us feel good. We are made to feel good already. And God has given us this good way in which we are to walk to feel good and have that good life. But I want you to think first about an example set before us, our Jesus. How when He was upon the cross, before the sixth hour, they came to him and gave him some vinegar mixed with myrrh, mixed with a substance there that oftentimes was an opiate, something that would dull the senses, if you will. And I'm sure that, I know that all of you had the opportunity, I don't know if you've taken it or not, to see the movie The Passion, but you can start to visualize through that illustration set before you just what kind of torture that Jesus went through on that day already when he would be at the point when they gave him this substance to drink. But as they passed that up on a pole to his mouth, when he realized what it was, he turned and would not drink it. Now there's an example for you. What is the difference between my finger being cut and my desire to get me a shot just on that little old split finger, and Jesus refusing that which would cloud the mind and dull the senses upon the cross after having been tortured? And herein lies the lesson that I was cutting wood and Jesus was atoning for our sins. And the whole world had him in view that day and every day since that day and even to this day. And wouldn't it be wonderful if our liberal modernist quote scholars of today could get their hands upon that verse that said he drank deeply of that substance and turn and teach us that he didn't know what he was doing, and of a clouded mind in a drug state he gave his life a ransom for all? That's not what happened, because he would not allow anything to cloud his mind as he atoned for our sins. Now, if we follow in the steps of Jesus, what would we do walking through this life? We would refrain, we would resist, we would never, ever put a substance in our body that would poison us, that would cloud the mind, that would cause us to have a high just for the sake of having a high by abusing drugs upon this earth. There are principles set forth in the Christian life that we cannot fulfill in that condition. It's already been stated time and again. Look at the wonderful things set before us. Our families are set before us. And young people, you're not married yet. There is before you the potential of a mate, of children, of an extended family, of a wonderful benefit that is great in your life and will make it a great life for you. But you cannot be a good husband, you cannot be a good Christian wife, you cannot be a good child, you cannot fulfill any of the roles and responsibilities in the home as you should, as you must, while abusing drugs. That facet of your life will be destroyed, taken out of the way, will never be what it could be if you would never abuse drugs in any way. God has made us so that we get fulfillment and joy out of working. Man is happiest when he has a job and he has a purpose and he is working. We're not to go around stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him work with his hands that thing which is good that he may have and to give to others. We find fulfillment in working and doing a good job with what we do. But you can't do that when you abuse drugs. When you start to abuse drugs, you find that you can't even hold a job. And you'll find yourself with your hand out, maybe too proud to beg for a while. And then you expect it because you can't do any more for yourself. Children cannot follow a guide in the home that is abusing drugs. The simplest of these illustrations. Father smoking that cigarette. Son, don't smoke these things. They'll kill you. Don't do that. Don't do what I do. You listen to what I say. Now, a lot of us have been through that, haven't we? We know how ineffective that is. What if your father is a meth addict? Methamphetamine addict? He's 6'2" and weighs 25 pounds. Walking death, coming home. Selling your stereo, selling your radio, selling your CD, selling whatever you have. So he can get some more of that meth. Get some more ice. Caring not for you, but rather for that which makes him feel good for the moment. I want you to hear today what these things will do to you. I want you to read the manuscript that will be posted on the website where all these videos and this information will be. I have more material than I could do in 2 or 3 hours here, but I did it for this purpose so that you'd have a reference point, so that you can go and read and see what these things will do. And I have them documented where you can go back and see the sources. These are not things that are just made up. Everyone in this world has a master. Your master is God. Whether you recognize God, whether you love God, whether you hate God, whether you ever look up in the sky and ever say a good word, your master is God. And you must follow God. And we understand, like Israel of old, they had a king and God was their king. But well, guess what? They wanted a king like everybody else had one. We want a king like we can see and can carry us into battle. And so they rejected God and they got them an own king. They couldn't serve two masters. They couldn't serve God and Saul. They had to choose. And when you start to put these poisonous substances in your body for a high and a rush, you have now switched gods and you have forsaken your master and have bowed down to the addiction to whatever chemical you have decided to start using. You cannot serve two masters. You'll learn to love the one, hate the other, no matter how good or how bad it would be. You give up your self-control in addiction. We are to be moderate people. We are to be people possessing ourselves. We are to possess our own vessels in honor. We are to have self-control. To be addicted to something is to turn over that control to that substance and thus become a servant of the substance. The first two I want to deal with are the most common of all, smoking and drinking. Well, what does that have to do with drug abuse? Nicotine is a drug. It's a narcotic drug. And whether you get it through smoking a cigarette, wearing 15 patches around at school, or shooting some up straight in your veins, that's a very dangerous thing. You'll kill yourself. It's still abuse of a substance that causes you to get a high, to get a rush, and you keep going back to it because you're addicted to it. Now, how do these things work? Well, smoking and this substance of nicotine in the body has now been recognized. Of course, we've had Surgeon General reports all along the way, but now here's the wording of them. Smoking causes disease in nearly every organ of the body at every stage of life. That's the Surgeon General's report. You want me to read it to you again? Smoking causes disease in nearly every organ of the body at every stage of life. There's never a good time to do this. It will kill you. It will cause you to be diseased. It will not bring glory to God. And you will not preserve your life in partaking of this. Smoking at any age damages the lungs. At any age. Let me tell you about nicotine quickly. It takes 60 milligrams of nicotine to kill you. At 60 milligrams of nicotine, you're dead. But before you die, you're going to have vomiting and tremors and convulsions and paralysis. Then you die. If they just take 60 milligrams at one time and drop it on your tongue, you're dead. In a cigar or 5 cigarettes, there is a total of 125 milligrams of nicotine. But you're saying, well, 1 cigar or 5 cigarettes won't kill you. That's right. Because through the delivery system of that and what finally gets into your bloodstream, it reduces down to 11 milligrams for a cigar and 2 for a cigarette. But remember, 60 will kill you. Are you trying to tell me that we can just sit up here on this stage and smoke some cigarettes and die? That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. There's already on record in years past a man who smoked himself to death in 12 hours. It took 40 cigarettes and 12 cigars in a 12-hour period, and he died of nicotine poisoning. You say, well, wait a minute, you're counting up now. That's a lot of nicotine. That's 230 milligrams of nicotine. That's right. But you said 60 would kill you. Guess what? God has made you. You're wonderfully made. You have a body that tries to keep you alive. You have a filtering system in your body that is fighting to keep you alive while you're fighting to kill yourself. And those kidneys are displacing that nicotine, and they're working as hard as they can work, and they're going as hard as they can go, and finally you overtake them. And when that level hits 60 milligrams of your bloodstream, you're dead. That's why it took 12 hours and that number of cigars and cigarettes. But the case is, you can be here now and gone tomorrow morning just by smoking. And what you're doing every day, ever how many times a day you do it, is you're doping yourself with nicotine for a reason. There's an addiction there. What is addiction? What makes an addiction? What is it that we call addiction? Why is one thing addictive and another one not? Here are the elements of addiction. Number one, you get a rush from the substance that you take into your body. That rush is something that just moves you from where you are now to where some other place that seems to be, for the moment, better or different than where you were. I want you to understand that when people are abusing drugs, they're usually worried and they're looking about how miserable their life is and how they wish things would be, and they're not content. Doesn't the Bible teach us to be content in whatever state we're in? When people are not content and they're looking at that thing and they get this rush, it moves them from that misery to some other place. They don't recognize it to be more misery, but it's that rush factor that they get when they get there and say, ooh, that's different. And then from that rush factor comes a euphoria. Ooh, look at little birdies. Ooh, look at that color. Do you hear that color? Things are different. And this euphoria, it's a good feeling. And I do not take anything away from that. It is a good feeling in that it feels, makes you feel light and airy and no problems, those kinds of things momentarily. That's the hook in this. And from this euphoria now, there's a part of the drug that your body begins to tolerate and does it quickly in addictive drugs. And what this tolerance level is, what it means is that when you take this and you get this effect the first time, the next time you go back to do it, it takes more drugs to get to the same place. You're building up a tolerance to it. And then the third time you take it, it takes even more drugs, and it takes them more frequently to get back to the same place. Guess what? I want to get back to the same place because my life was miserable here, and it was different over here. It didn't last long. But there was that place, and I'm going back, and I'm going back, and I'm going back. But it takes more and more and more and more frequently. There's your addiction. Well, wait a minute. I can't afford all that. It's taking all my house money. It's taking all my food money. It's taking all my fun money. I don't want to spend all my money on that drug. I'll just quit it. The fourth factor in this thing is withdrawal symptoms. You want to quit, but you now have introduced into your body these substances, and your body is reacting to them, and it starts to cramp, and you start to tremor, and you start to have a fever, you start to feel lousy, and you're going, wait a minute, I don't feel like this. And you take some more drugs, and guess what? All that goes away, and you start back to this place again. And the withdrawal symptoms keep turning you back to the drug, and you take more of the drug, and it takes more of the drug and more frequently of the drug, but you want to get off, and so you start to have withdrawal symptoms, and you turn right back to it again. Addiction. Nicotine is addictive. 90% of people who try to quit cigarettes the first time relapse. 90%. Addictive. Addictive. We want you to understand this. We want you not to fall prey to it. Drinking. Drinking is one of those things that's near to my life, to my heart, because my life was disrupted by it all through my childhood from age 13 up until about 1995. My dad was an alcoholic. And I want to tell you what young people feel in homes where the parents are abusing drugs is that there's a choice being made every day. Me or the bottle. And guess who wins every day? The bottle. Why? It has my drugs in it. Alcohol is a drug. And alcohol gives you the rush. And alcohol makes you feel different. Alcohol, for the moment, clouds the mind and you forget the bills, you forget the responsibilities. Alcohol moves you to the other place. And then when you get off the alcohol, you get the tremors. You get to having to wipe your hands, rub your hands real hard right before you fall right back off and go and get you another bottle. It'll take your good life away from you. It'll take the good life away from your family. It'll take your good life away from little innocent children. Why not glorify God and just stay away from it? You're created not to use it. Now, in this life, in this country, in our population, 51% of our population drinks at least 12 alcoholic drinks per year. 29% of our population drinks 4 to 5 alcoholic drinks a day. That's the rate of alcoholism. 29% of our population can be called alcoholics. Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 16. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. I can't go to work, there's a lion out there. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed, over and over. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He can't help himself, can't feed himself. That's what drunks and addicts are like. The worst thing about drinking is this, is that it is the gateway, the granddaddy of all gateways to other drugs. When people are drinking, those are the people who are abusing other drugs. The majority of people who use drugs drink. Of teenagers from the age of 12 to 19, they made a study and they found that 66% of all teenagers who drink alcohol abuse other drugs. But what about those who don't drink alcohol? 5%. 5%. 1 in 20. I have information here on methamphetamine, marijuana, ecstasy, all kinds of things. But I want to talk about date rape drugs just for a moment. Why can't I go to the dance? Why can't I go to the club if I just drink Coke? I won't drink alcoholic drinks. I'll be good, Daddy. Just let me go to the club and I won't even dance. I'll just watch. And I want to be at the club. That's where my friends are. I won't drink any alcohol. I'll drink Coca-Cola. I'll drink water. I won't drink any alcoholic beverages. Just let me go with my friends. Young ladies, watch out for something called gamma hydroxybutyrate and rohypnol. GHB. Roofies. X. These drugs are used for no other purpose than to take and place in your drink, and when you drink it, it incapacitates you. You don't know where you are. Your body doesn't work. Your eyes may be open. Your mind may still work, but your body does not work. And guys just take you and throw you in the truck, take you where they want to take you, and they rape you. I have worked with the Rape Council in Las Vegas, Nevada for a period of 6 years. We put together programs. We got in the high schools to stop and curb some of this stuff. And these substances, you can't, in your drink, they just drop it, you drink, you look this way, they drop it in your drink, and you can't see it, you can't smell it, and you can't taste it, except for GHB. It has a slight salty taste. But who's tasting that? You can't see it in your drink, you can't smell it in your drink, you can't taste it in your drink, and you drink it. And within 20 minutes of the time you drink this, your body doesn't work. And now someone else has full control over your body, and we as first-line crisis counselors would meet these young girls coming into the hospital after having been brought from one of these places going, I don't know what happened. I can't remember what happened. It takes your memory away from you and everything, but the bottom line is you've been raped. The bell has been rung. You can't roll that back. You've now got to deal with life in a different way to regain control of your own life. There are bad people out there, people doing bad things. And just because you're a Christian, if you frequent these kinds of places, you may very well be a victim of that kind of activity. Here's what you do. You never leave whatever kind of drink you have in front of you. One, you don't go to those places. But if you do, you watch it being made. You don't take a Coke that's already been opened for you. Nothing. Even at a party, at a simple party at school or anything, don't take a Coca-Cola somebody has already opened for you. Say, thanks, I'll go get my own. When you have that drink in your possession, never leave it. Not even for a second. Well, I've got to go to the restroom. Fine, you've got two choices. Take it with you or throw it in the trash. One of the two. But when you come back, get another one. Don't go back to that one. Do you get the idea? The drink is the vehicle. Never take your eyes off of it. Don't trust strangers around your open container. This is not the day and time for it. Methamphetamines. I went back to Tennessee. That's where I'm from. And I talked to one of my friends there, and they said, you're going to be surprised. When you go to this certain town, it's represented here today, that you're going to see the walking dead. I said, what? You're going to see the walking dead. Methamphetamines has taken us over. And these people are hollow-cheeked, hollow-eyed, skinny, clammy-looking, unhealthy-looking, and they're walking the streets all over town. People you formerly knew that you wouldn't recognize now. And guess what? I saw them. Methamphetamines, made in a garage by somebody who doesn't even have a high school chemistry test they passed. Drano and such chemicals used to manufacture this stuff. And you'll take and shoot it up and get that rush, get that high, get that feeling out of it. It doesn't sound logical. Right now today we're saying, no, I would never do that. Well, good. But in that moment when the opportunity is sitting before you and all your friends are going, do it, it's good, come on, do it. What are you going to do then? Be strong and have that decision made up at this time. Don't buy into that. Do not do it. In our school systems, there is another problem, over-the-counter drugs, over-the-counter cough suppressants and such like. Have you realized that when you go to the drugstore that sometimes when you're looking for that sinus medicine and you, where'd my sinus medicine go? They out of sinus medicine. And you go to the counter and say, you don't have any sinus medicine over here. They, oh yeah, we've got it back here behind the counter. Wait a minute, it's over the counter. I always come and pick it up off the counter. No, we've got it back here now. Why? Because the young people at schools are coming in here and buying 10 and 15 packs of this stuff, walk outside and take all 10 packs at one time to get that rush. Then they have to come right back in and get some more because they want to do that again tomorrow. That felt pretty good. Do you see where drug abuse will lead you? It will lead you to do things that you would never think a rational, reasoning person would ever do. Why? For the rush, for the euphoria, for the escape. Let me tell you something. The Bible is the way of life. It is your escape. Whatever trouble, whatever travail you may have, God has an answer for it. He has a way in which you are to meet that trouble, that travail, if you'll just stand up and be a person that glorifies God and exercise what He has said to do, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. Did it make full sense to Noah to get out there in the desert and build an ark? Never rained before upon this earth. He's out there hammering away. Why? God said, do it. I don't see how this will work. Who cares? If you understand properly what God has said to do in that situation, if you will do it, it will work. Build some confidence, and the way you do that is you exercise that life, glorifying God, and you get the empirical evidence by seeing it work in your life, which gives you confidence the next time you meet this circumstance or anyone like it. Prescription drugs. I have a thing here about the students taking these over-the-counter drugs and things of this nature. Watch your students. Watch your kids. Do they lose interest in things they used to have interest in? Why? Does their weight all of a sudden shoot up or all of a sudden shoot down? Why? Are they all of a sudden irritable, cranky? Why? Find out why. Why? Why? Kids don't just change and jump up and down and back and forth all the time like that. It's not normal. It may be that they're using these drugs, and you can monitor them and find out why. My next question is, but who's going to watch the parents? You ever heard of Valium? Oxycontin? These kinds of drugs, Darvon, Vicodin, Demerol, Lortabs. Prescription drugs. You can go to the doctor, get a prescription, go to the drugstore, give them some money, and get these drugs. They're legal. Yes, they're legal, but you must not abuse them. The sin is in the abuse of them, not the use of them. And when you start taking these things, and severe pain is what these are usually given for. You've had surgery or something. They give you this stuff. And the pain is excruciating, and you take them to get your mind away from the pain, and that's a good thing. But then when the pain has gone, you're supposed to decrease these things to where you're not taking them anymore. But you may not feel as good as when you did on that pill, so I want to feel that good, so I'll take the Lortab, and boy, there I am again. And then you build up a tolerance. Now I take 5 Lortabs. There I am again. Then you take a half a bottle. There I am again. And you're addicted to these prescription drugs through the mechanism of addiction. And when you do, it's as sinful as if you were out shooting up meth or using any other illicit drug that you can think of. Good citizens we are to be, Romans chapter 13. Good citizens do not break the laws of the land that are in harmony with the law of God. Good citizens do that which is right. It's a pleasure as a Christian to combat worldliness. When you find it and you're keeping it outside the church, oh, that's a wonderful feeling. That's a great fight, isn't it? You're tuned up for the fight, aren't you? Part of our work has been and still is to train preachers. Train preachers. Look at them. Guys are in training to be preachers. They're preachers already. They just don't have their full training. What a fulfilling thing it is to have been a teacher of men who now preach the gospel. But what if, like Paul to Timothy, put it in that aspect, if you turn and look at one of those men, your joy and your crown, the premier student that's out there working and doing it right, and all of a sudden that person becomes unproductive. Where they used to always be present and always used to be their hand in the work, always doing it, now they're nowhere to be found at the right time. And then you learn they've even stolen money out of their own family. The wife is called, he took my credit card. He went and did this. I don't know what's going on. Do you get the picture? What's happening? That young man is now addicted to prescription drugs. Had one case where that young man, his wife was in severe pain. He went to the drugstore without her knowledge, filled her prescription, came back and lied to her, told her that she knew he'd been taking some of the other prescription. He said he didn't have any of those left. Took the kids, went on vacation, and left her in severe pain. And he had those pills in his pocket when he said no. That man just months ago was a faithful, faithful gospel preacher. No one's immune to this stuff. How do you face these things each day? If you know your purpose, you have no trouble. And your purpose upon this earth, every person's purpose upon this earth is one. It's singular. It's to glorify God in the church. You keep that before your mind, you keep your feet in the footsteps of Jesus, and you remember His example that in His pain, in His torture, in His agony, with hours left to endure upon the cross, He refused it. And said, no, I love you, and I'm doing this for you. And I'm doing it in a clear mind, so I can say fully, it is finished. You fight the good fight of faith. You finish the course. You be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And don't put yourself in the place of opportunity. And please, 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 young people, do not ever abuse any kind of drug, legal or illicit. It will rob you of your soul and your life. Leave it alone.